Hallelujah. Let's just ask God to bless his word tonight as I preach. Father, I am absolutely inadequate to deliver the message that needs to be preached. But the Holy Spirit can do the talking. God, let your word speak to us. Father, we ask tonight that you will reveal truth to us. Draw us closer to you. Speak to us out of this book lessons that we will never forget. And God, that we'll be serve you through all of our life. We'll never turn away, but always hold on to you, knowing that you care for us. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Praise God. Now, I want to preach to you tonight from a book that people just don't like in the Bible. The book that folks are afraid of. Maybe you already know what book that is. And people really don't like the book of Job. Because it tells about suffering. And it tells about somebody that went through an incredible experience of suffering. In fact, I was thinking about this message and planning, God spoke to me to speak on this. And I don't remember in the early years of my life up until, in fact, come to think of it, I have never heard anybody preach on it. Never. I've preached on it. But I have never, ever gone to a meeting where anybody said, now I'm going to preach on Job tonight. Because usually it gets awful quiet like now when you mention that. You know, it has a way of quietening the audience down. But there's some wonderful, wonderful eternal truths in this book that we must have. It's a large book. It's 42 pages in the kind of the middle of the Bible. And it's not there just to be there. It's there because there's lessons that everybody needs in this book. And it's interesting, Pastor Dave preached on Sunday morning, and he preached on God Knows, and which is wonderful. And it's interesting that this kind of goes along with that, a great sermon, a most important, a wonderful sermon right out of his heart that we really need. But God has spoken to me to preach on this Tuesday night long before. And he said, on Tuesday night, God has spoken to me. That's the sermon you want to preach. And the title is, When a Man Sees the Lord. When a man sees the Lord. The book of Job opens with Job being the most outstanding man in the world. God speaks about Job to Satan. In fact, the Jewish historians say that this book was written by Moses. And Moses wrote this book, and that Job was a descendant of Abraham. That seems to be quite well established. And a book written by Moses, the book of Job, the 42 chapters of this great book. It begins with Satan, the people of God come, the children of God come together, sons of God, it says, not children, sons of God meet together. I don't know who that is. But I know who joins them, and that's the Satan. I know him. And he comes along with them. And in the course of the conversation, Satan never mentions Job. Now, he's always the accuser of the brethren. He's telling God about bad things that people are doing and reminding him of them, that they need to be, that this is wrong. Satan knows you just like God knows you. Not just like it, but not as well, but he knows you. And he knows everybody. And God says, but Satan, have you noticed my servant Job? You don't mention him. And God says, there's nobody like him. Have you noticed? There's nobody like Job in this world. He said, there's not another person in the world in his category. He is in a class by himself. He's upright. He hates evil. He said, there's nobody in the world like Job. And then Satan states the truth. He says, yeah, that's true, God. That may be true. But he says, you have built a hedge around him or a fence around him. You fenced him in. You don't let me near him. In fact, he says, anything he does is blessed. You don't let me touch anything that has to do with Job. I can't touch it. You've got a wall around him. And that's true. God puts a wall around his people. God looks after his people and protects you. If you're blessed in any capacity, it's God that blesses you. Don't ever take credit for it yourself. God has to bless you or you aren't blessed. Everyone that's blessed in this world, those that serve God and those that don't, every good thing in the world comes from God. Every bad thing comes from the devil. Let's get that straight. Praise God. The good comes from God and the bad comes from the devil. Then he said, but if you will let me have Job, I will make him curse you. He'll curse you and curses and he'll turn on you, God. He's serving you because he's blessed. And that's why he's serving you. If you let me have him, God said, all right, I'll take the fence down. But you can't touch Job. The fence is down. It's over, Satan. The fence is down. They have this conversation about Job in heaven. And he said, the fence is down, and now whatever you want to do to him, but you can't touch him, is available. Now, it says sometime later, we don't know how long that was, but Satan had a lot of work to do to organize his destruction. Because it's all going to come in one day. Now, he's the wealthiest man in the world. He has 7 sons and 3 daughters. And they meet in the oldest son's house on occasions and from house to house. And then Job always prays for him, offers a sacrifice in case they've sinned, in case they've done wrong. He's always praying for them. And on this day, the servants come back, to make a long story short and to move quickly, and the first one comes back and he has all these thousands of cattle and he has thousands of sheep, tens of thousands, and the wealthiest man in the world was actually, the historians say, he was probably was a prince, or we would call him a king. He was a prince of that part of the world and the best known and the most respected. And he comes back and he says, you know, today the storm came, a tornado came and destroyed the house, and all of your children are gone. All 10 of them, and I alone am left. Before that, one comes and says, we were watching the camels, the thousands of camels, and they were destroyed. Fire came down and destroyed them. And the Sabaeans came and robbed them and killed everybody. And one servant comes in and another servant comes in. The cattle are destroyed. The sheep are destroyed. And all of the donkeys and all of them are destroyed. Everything is destroyed. And every time one servant is left and one is out and another's in. Satan took him a long time to organize it so that they would come right one after another. And finally the last one come and says, and your ten children are gone. Everything is gone. Job tears his clothes, puts sackcloth on him, and screams and cries, and he is destroyed. And it is so incredible, the pain and the loss. And it's just one after another comes. And Job never charges God. He says, the Lord gave and the Lord is taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And he says to his wife, are we just going to receive good things and not evil? That's not the way it is. And he serves God, never wavers, never backs down, crushed, but not understanding it. He doesn't understand it because it's all of a sudden. He is serving God. He's a godly, the greatest man in the world, the best man in the world, the most righteous man in the world. Nobody in his class. And this happens to him. And all of this is organized by Satan to be the maximum of destructive power to him. And he never goes under, doesn't go under. And as time passes, and the sons of God meet back in heaven, and Satan is there, and God said, did you see Job? Look at him. He has not wavered. He has not cursed me. He has not lost faith. He has not lost faith. I have let you wipe him out, and he has not lost faith at all. And Satan says, yeah, God, but I know that. But he says, skin for skin. All that a man has, he'll give for his life, his skin. He said, you moved the hedge, but you let me get a hold of Job himself. And he will curse you. He'll curse you, God. He'll lose faith. He'll turn loose. He'll back down. And God says, all right, Satan, you can have him. I turn him over to you with one exception. I'm moving the hedge. You can't take his life. You cannot kill him. Do anything in the world you want to as long as you don't kill him. You can't do that. And he is stricken with boils from his head to his feet. Incredible pain. And he is physically, terribly suffering. Some writers have suggested that it was leprosy, in a form of leprosy, or other some of the most painful illnesses in the world. They've tried to diagnose it. Nobody knows, but whatever it was, it's the worst there is. And he says he's out in the ash heap now, and he is so pained and scraping his body, and the pus and the whole body is being destroyed. And he looks terrible. He smells terrible. He's so sick. And this is an important part of this story that God wants you to understand. And his wife looks at him. She's lost faith. She says, Job, the voice of the devil, curse God. Just exactly what Satan said he would do. Curse God. That God would let you, a good man. I know you've been good. I know you've been righteous. I know all that. Curse God, Job. Give up. Throw in the towel. Curse God and die. Die. And Job, out of his sorrow and his ugliness, and his hair is messed up, and his body stinks, and he's terrible. But he says, woman, you sound like a fool, a foolish. That's the words of a foolish woman. It's the words of Satan. Though he slay me, yet will I serve him. Hallelujah. I'll never give up. Two things. First of all, the lesson is this. The first lesson that I want to get a hold of is, don't ever build your faith on somebody else. She knew God through Job. When Job was stricken, her faith was crushed. She gave up. She only knew God because Job knew God. Now listen to me. You have to know God for yourself. You cannot serve God through somebody else. You have got, God won't accept that. He doesn't have grandchildren. We have them, not him. You have to be a child of God yourself. You must know God personally. That it doesn't matter what happens to anybody else. That you know God and you're going to serve God, and it has nothing to do with what happens to other people. The best people you know, the greatest, some of the great leaders, religious leaders of our age have fallen. And I've seen folks really lose faith and go, but that's ridiculous. You can't serve God through somebody else. God saved you and called you. And you won't know all the answers. I don't know the answers. You don't know the answers. God knows everything. You trust God. Now listen to me tonight. Don't build your faith on anybody. Build your faith on God and on this book, hallelujah, and knowing God for yourself. Don't be a Job's wife that's hanging on somebody else. That if they don't know God, you don't know God. If they don't serve God, you don't serve God. Well, you don't know God. And you don't have God when you're hanging on to anybody else. You love people, we respect people, but we serve God individually. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I had to ask myself the question when I first got saved. It doesn't matter if the greatest Christians I know turn their back on God, what am I going to do? If the greatest person that I know tomorrow were to turn away from God or go astray, how is that going to affect me? It isn't going to affect me because I'm going to serve God. Hallelujah. Get a hold of this. Dark days are coming. Awesome days are coming. A lot of people's faith will be shaken and they'll fold up and they'll pass out. But God wants people that are rooted and grounded in Him, that whatever comes, that they serve God. Come on now, say amen. Amen. Get a hold of it. The lesson in Job is you can't have an experience like his wife had. It won't hold up. That won't hold. Her experience gave way. Buckled. She buckled under it. Hallelujah. Job didn't buckle. Hallelujah. And he's the one that's suffering. Isn't that interesting? She don't have a boil. He's got them all. But she's the one that's ready to curse in God. He's not. He's not cursing God. Hallelujah. He's holding on. Praise God. He doesn't give up. He holds on. Doesn't understand it. He doesn't understand it. His theology and the theology of those folk were that good people don't suffer. And a lot of people have that theology. That theology won't work. That theology doesn't hold up. And the good people don't ever suffer. That's not true. There's hedges around us. That's true. But every now and then, God allows us to be tested. And He never allows you to be tested above what you should be tested. He always permits the test. God permits everybody to be tested. If you haven't been tested and you're just starting out, hold on. It will come. Don't be disappointed. Then his three friends come. And his three friends, and praise God, Eliphaz and Bildad and Zophar. And these three men say 7 days, and then they start speaking to him. Eloquent chapters. Great chapters. Say some great things about God. But they all say, Job, you're a sinner. You are a sinner. And you've done wrong. And if you hadn't failed, and you need to repent. You have done wrong. There's wrong in your life. Or this wouldn't happen to you. And Job defends himself. They have three rounds of these great discussions that go through many, many chapters. Great reading. And lots of good things said. And all of this goes on and goes on. And Job answers each one of them. They speak, three of them speak in turn. And then Job answers each of them. Then they speak again the second time, and he answers them all. Now, by the third time, they're really sarcastic, and they really lay it on him, and they call him a sinner, and they say you're a sinner, and you need to repent, and they lay it on him real heavy on the third trip around. Only two of them speak. The last one, Zophar, doesn't speak in that turn. And then Job answers him and says he knows all they know and defends himself, and I'm not a sinner, and there is no need for this. And he questions, why would this? I would like to talk to God. And he says, I want a dialogue. God won't speak to me. I want to talk to God. And he is somehow justifying himself that this shouldn't happen to him. Very, very interesting and enlightening conversation. But he's questioning, why would this happen to me? And why should it? It shouldn't happen. It's not right. This shouldn't have happened to me. And then this young man speaks. He speaks very eloquently, but he's the last one to speak. And then after that, God speaks. And God says to Job, Job, stand up like a man and let me talk to you. And he says to Job, he says, where were you when I formed the heavens? Where were you when the morning stars sang together, and for the first time, the stars of the sky shone and sang? Where were you at the first song of the heavens? Where were you, Job? Where were you? Millions of whoever, however long at the beginning of time, whenever he created the heavens and the earth, whenever it was. And he says, where were you when I decided the dimensions of the earth? When I decided the exact size that the world should be and I laid out the dimensions, where were you when we discussed that? I don't remember you being part of the conversation. You were not there. Where were you? And he says, where were you, Joe, when I decided the boundaries of the sea? Took my finger and says, this is where the ocean will come, and this is where the dry land will appear. Where were you when I decided how far the ocean should go and where it would stop? And where were you when I created the great animals of the sea and the whales and the great fish of the sea? Where were you when I created the great beast? When I decided to put the strength in the horse? When I decided to build this incredible elephant and the great animals of the... Where were you when all of this I decided? And he says, then Job backs away and he speaks on. And then Job says, and God says, answer me. And he said, I've spoken things I didn't know anything about, God. I'm putting my hand on my mouth. I'm finished. I'm talking no more. Then God speaks again, and in the end, he says, speaking, Job speaks in the 42nd chapter, and he says this, then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do everything, and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. You ask, who is this who hides counsel without knowledge? Wherefore I have uttered what I did not understand. Things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. Listen, please, and let me speak. You said, I will question you, and you will answer me. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear. But now, my eye sees you. I see you. I only heard about you, but now I see you. Therefore, I abhor myself and repent in dust and in ashes. He said, God, as great as life as I've had with you, I've only heard about you. But in my suffering and talking with you now, I have seen you. And I abhor myself, and I repent in dust and ashes that I should ever have questioned you. I see myself, and I'm nothing. and I'm unrighteous, and I'm not the great man I thought I was. I repent. In your holiness, in your awesomeness, I'm nothing. Isaiah says in the 6th chapter of Isaiah, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. The great king that he trusted in, that he believed in, that ruled the longest of any king, perhaps 52 to 54 years. And when Uzziah died, and the kingdom was over, and Uzziah died with leprosy, but he said, I saw you. And he said, I'm a man of unclean lips, and I repent. And I dwell among a people of unclean lips, and I repent. I saw myself as an unclean man. When you see God, when you really know Him, you see yourself, and you realize that compared to your holiness, and Isaiah said the angels there, the seraphim, were crying out, holy, holy, holy is God. In His presence, when we really see Him, we see ourselves the way we are. In Isaiah, again, in the 60-something chapter, I think the 64th chapter, says, all of our righteousness is filthy rags when we compare ourselves with God. When you compare yourself with somebody else, you look pretty good. But when you compare yourself to God, you feel like Isaiah, you feel like Job. I am nothing. Your righteousness, and you must abandon your own righteousness and take His. Hallelujah. 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 There's none of us in this building who stand before God righteous in ourselves. There's nothing within us. It's all in Him. We must abandon our own righteousness, and we must clothe ourselves in His righteousness, and we must take on the Lord Jesus Christ. And then remember what God said to those three men. Repent, go to Job, and he'll pray for you. And you have said the wrong things about me. You haven't been like my servant Job. And they have to repent because they have judged somebody else. The second lesson is, don't ever judge somebody else that's suffering. You don't know. There's a thousand reasons for it. You don't know what goes on with anybody else. Don't ever look at somebody else and put them down. And don't take an arrogant attitude and look about yourself. Walk humbly before God. And when every great revival, when folks have really seen the Lord, they come down. When you see God, you come down. When you hear the voice of God, you come down. He walks with the humble and the lowly. Don't lift yourself up. Don't put yourself above where you ought to be. Don't do that. Don't brag on yourself. Brag on the Lord. Think of Him and praise Him and worship Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because that's where it is tonight. I beg of you, let me tell you, folks, it's in humility. In our suffering, we see the Lord. It's in our suffering that we become the men and women that God wants us to be. Suffering never hurts a person that hangs in there with God. And the next thing I want to give you is an old lesson that everybody knows I preach. Never give up. Never give up. Never. When you don't understand it, you hang in there. When you don't know what's going on, you trust God just the same. And you hold on. You hold on. Don't ever surrender. Because if you will hold on, as Job did, as he speaks in James, the 5th chapter, he says, learn from Job, the patience of Job, that he held on. And when he got finished, God vindicated him, and he came out glorious in the end. Don't you serve God just because when things are going well. You won't understand everything that happens. I don't understand everything that happens. We don't know it all, but we trust. We trust, we trust, we trust. We know He loves us. As Pastor Dave said, He knows and He cares and He wants to be with you, and you will come to know Him. He has plans for you to know Him better. And because of situations that if you will hold on, you will gain through those situations. God plans for you to grow through that situation. He plans for you to get closer to Him. Everybody that's tested, you either get better or bitter. Better or bitter. Closer or lose out. You have a choice when the test comes, and you will be tested, and you will get tested. When you're tested, you will either grow and become stronger and become closer to God, or get bitter and turn away and lose ground. You won't be the same. You're never the same when you suffer. Never the same. Had a great secretary, was a humpback, had suffered a lot as a child. For some almost 40 years, she was our secretary, Grace. Now, I was telling this doctor here in the city at Presbyterian Hospital, we were talking. I said, yeah, it's a great secretary. I said, she's a cripple, but she became a great Christian, a great secretary. He said, let me tell you something. Everybody that has a great affliction either become great people or they get bitter and get wiped out. You'll never be the same, and you won't be the same. And God wants you to come out strong. He wants you to become all that He's planned for you to be. He's got a great plan for you. He plans for you to win. Now, in the end, defense goes back up. The hedge goes back up. It doesn't stay down. And God makes the hedge twice of what it was before. This time, the hedge is way ahead. Job is twice the man that he was before. He was the greatest man on earth, and he was really the greatest man on earth when God got finished with him. Because now he sees himself, and he sees God the way He is. He's a different man. He's a greater man. The Job of chapter 42 is not even the same Job as chapter 1. He is now far greater. And you won't be the same. You're going to get closer and closer. And God wants to make the greatest person out of you. He wants to improve you. He's got a plan for you. And He's going to let nothing happen to you that He doesn't permit. But He permits it for His glory, that you become what He wants you to be. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You can't believe all that preachers are saying today across the radio and on television, and are just preaching everything is rosy and you'll never suffer and there's no trial. And if you live right, you'll never have a trial and you'll never suffer and no problems will ever come to you. If you're a man of faith, there's nobody in the world that could have prayed for Job to brought him healing before that occasion. It can't be, because when God is working on your life, the healing and the deliverance will come when you've arrived at the place God's working for you. There was healing. There was deliverance. And Job was healed. And God did put His hand on it. But you can't believe it when folks just preach all you need. You don't ever need to repent. You don't ever need to humble yourself. That's not true. God walks with the lowly. He walks with the humble. Come down and come down before the Lord. When trials come, humble yourself. Get down before God and cry out to Him and hold on until the answer comes, like Job did. And the answer will come. Hallelujah. 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 God will bring you through, because He has got a good plan for you. Job was blessed. Listen to this. Job was blessed. He had 10 more children. His girls said were the most beautiful in that part of the world. And Job gave them an inheritance equal with their brothers, which was remarkable for that part of the world. And it says he saw his grandchildren for four generations. His children, his grandchildren, his great-grandchildren, and his great-great-grandchildren. He saw him. He lived 140 years after this. He was the greatest of all of the greats. Nothing like him in the known world at his time. And everything he lost was doubled, came back. And he had he lived 140 years later. He was still praising God. Hallelujah. Serving God. Greater than ever. That's not all. He gave us 42 chapters of the Bible. He left a legacy for thousands of years. As long as that Bible has been read by the Jews and now by the Christians, we read the 42 chapters of the story of Job. And James said, and Job learned from him his patience. He never surrendered. He never gave up. He never backed down. He never turned loose. Yes, he made mistakes. No one has never lived that hasn't, other than Jesus Christ. But I'm telling you, folks, there is the lesson for you. Whatever happens to your job, whatever happens in your life and in your family and in your health, you hold on to God, and God will bring you through, and you will be a greater man. You'll be a greater woman. You'll be victorious. God has the victory for you, and he wants you to become all that he has for you. It's not going to heaven on flowery beds of ease while others have crossed through on bloody seas. Is every man has a battle. Every woman has a battle. Everybody has a struggle. But God will take you by the hand and will lead you through. And if you'll hold on, he'll never let go of you. And you'll become the man and the woman he wants you to be. Hallelujah. 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 And you'll rise up in eternity's morning and shout the victory and claim the victory, because we win. Hallelujah. We win. Hallelujah. Satan is defeated, and we're going to shout. And God has a tremendous plan for you, greater than you've ever known. You've never dreamed of the things that God has planned for you, because he loves you and he cares for you and he gave himself for you. He loves you with an everlasting love. He'll see you through the hard times and the hard places. He won't leave you in those days. He'll be with you. If you'll hold on to him, he'll hold on to you. And you'll come out trampling on Satan. And Job came out victorious. Hallelujah. And it says you'll trample the serpents under your feet. And you'll be victorious over the devil. And you'll be victorious over whatever the trial is. And you'll be a winner. And God's smile will be upon you. Hallelujah. When you don't understand it, you hold on till you do. You wait for God and you seek God. Praise God. And he'll bring you through. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Glory to God. The great people have suffered. The greats have suffered. Now, Uzziah didn't suffer till the end. He got proud. The man that died when Isaiah saw the Lord, and he was smitten with leprosy. He got lifted up. You can't let pride get you. The last thing I want to say is, don't you let pride in any measure get into your life, because it'll bring you down. Walk humble with God, and you'll walk close to God. Uzziah was lifted up. God brought him down. Paul the apostle was afflicted so much, and he prayed three times for God to take that thorn away and the afflictions away from his life. And God said to Paul, no, he spoke to him and said, because of the abundance of the revelation, I've had to allow these things to happen, lest you be exalted above measure, lest pride gets into you. And Paul said, I will therefore gladly, I accept the persecutions, the trouble, the heartache, all of the things that come to me, because when I'm weak, I'm strong. When I am lowly, I'm lifted up. Hallelujah. That the power of Christ might rest upon me. Jesus Christ suffered for you. And he wants you to go through. And he knows what suffering's all about. And he'll take you through and bring you through. And you'll be victorious and you'll be a winner. Hallelujah. And you're going to stand up with him. I didn't run and I didn't draw back. I stood with him. Hallelujah. And on that day, he's going to recognize you. And you're going to be gloriously rewarded. And God has got a great work for you to do down here in these last days. The world has to see that we don't buckle under. We don't go under like they do. We don't turn like they do. We don't give in like they do. Hallelujah. God is going to make you a winner. And he's called you with an everlasting calling and placed his hand upon you. And you're going to win. Praise God. And he'll take you through. And he wants to make you greater. And you to become all that he wants you to be. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In closing, I had no father. You know that. My father left 2 months before I was born. My mother was left with 6 children. The oldest was 9. The next one was 8. The next one was 6. The next one was 5. The next one was 3. And then I was born. And she was left in a desperate situation. And our blind aunt lived with us. My mother went and prayed with folks and went out in meetings and was away from the house a lot, sometimes weeks at a time. And Aunt Florence was so close to me because she was always home when my mother was gone in meetings, praying for people and doing ministry. And I was so close to Aunt Florence. Now, Aunt Florence was blind, and I was her eyes. I was the youngest, so I walked around the church, went with her to the post office, to the store, everywhere. And I was so good at it because I'd done it so much that we could walk together, and you wouldn't even know she's blind. I could just tell her when to pick her foot up, when to put it down, when to go here, when to go there. And it was just second nature to me. I loved her so dearly. She was so good to me, and we were close. We got real close, and she was ugly, terribly ugly. She had scarlet fever when she was small, when an infant, and it left her eyes crooked, and one of them was a glass eye, took the hair off her head, just a little bit of hair on her head. Her face was twisted. She never could focus because she couldn't see, so she really was ugly. But she was beautiful to me. Beauty is of the heart. Beauty is not the face, it's of the heart. And she was much older than my mother, and she was critically ill, and I drove all from New York. We were pastoring in Brooklyn. I drove all the way down to the hospital in North Carolina. I got in there in the middle of the night, quite late at night, and she knew my footsteps. And when I walked down the hall and came in the door, she says, "Benjamin, is that you?" I said, "That's me, Aunt Florence." And I kissed her. And she said, I've always known that I was going to get better. But this time, I know I won't get better. This will be the end. And I won't be with you. And so I have something I have to tell you." And she said, "I'm so glad you came because I had this. I have to share this with you." She said, "Now, I don't want you to ever let all of the difficulties that your mother and I had, we raised you children, the sorrow, the poverty, the suffering, the death of your brother, all of the other things, we had lots of it." She said, "Don't ever let that bother you." She said, "I'll tell you why. Because through our suffering, we got close to God. We did lots of praying that we never would have done. And we came to know God in an intimate way because we depended on him every day for the food, for clothes, for everything." And said, "Don't ever let those things bother you. Hardships, don't ever let it bother you. But because it made us pray and seek God, and we became close to God. And in our suffering, we see the Lord and we receive Him. So don't let suffering bother you. Don't let it harm you. Don't let the Satan frighten you with it, because God walks with you through the storm. God will hold your hand. And all God is planning on is that you're going to be closer to Him, that you're going to love Him more, and that you're going to know Him better. Do you know why I can be here now at 84 preaching to you? I've suffered. And I am not great. Believe me, I'm a coward. I'm not great in any capacity. And I am not even a courageous man at all. But when I got into trouble, instead of running, I turned to God with all of my heart. I sought God with everything there was within me. And God brought me out. And God lifted me. And every time when it looked so desperate, when it was hopeless for me, I sought God. And through it, I saw Him. And I grew closer to Him. And in your suffering, you will see the Lord. And you'll get closer to Him. And you'll know Him better. Hallelujah. 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 I was in the Presbyterian Hospital here for a colonoscopy, and doctor said you had one of the worst conditions I've ever seen, and I was operated on. And I came to in the middle of the operation, and I screamed, "You're killing me, you're killing me." And then I felt it possibly I went out of the body, because I saw myself going around the buildings in Manhattan here, or the windows right there. Then I went back into my body, and whatever it was, I had a strange experience, and they said that your heart went down so low we had to stop giving you anything to help you with pain. I was just as conscious as I am now. When they got finished the operation, I was in the operating room, and I was just in incredible pain. And I said, "Can't you folks help me?" And they said, "There's nothing we can do for you. Your heart's pressure is so low, there's nothing we can do. We wish we could help you, but we can't." And the pain was indescribable. And I was rolling me out of the operating room, and I was just like I am now as far as consciousness goes. And then I went into the recovery room, and I'm just grabbing hold of the things and just twisting. Then I began to think, Jesus on the cross, how you suffered. And I thought, I'm in this bed. Everybody around me is kind. My family will be, my wife will be here. In a little while, I'll be all right. Tears rolling out of my eyes. And I said, Jesus, I thank you that this happened to me, because just this little bit of terrible pain helps me to understand you were on the cross in the sun. They hated you. You were dying. In a little time, I'll be all right. And I said, I felt so close to you. I said, thank you, God, because we know you. In our suffering, we see you in a better way. And I understand the cross a little bit better. Just a little better. Thank you, God. Thank you for this experience, letting me come to know you. Folk, I love Jesus tonight. I want you to love Him with all of your heart. I don't want you to ever worry about something happening to you. He'll take you through. Hold on to Him. Get close to Him. Walk low. Walk soft. Walk humble. And the light will shine. For there's a glorious resurrection morning coming. Hallelujah. When we're going to embrace Him. And He's going to say to you, well done, you faithful servant. Praise God. Take the prophets and the apostles to go by as an example. And listen to them. And listen to this word. And love Him. And the more whatever happens, don't ever, ever, ever turn loose, because He wants you to be a great winner and the blessing to fall upon you for not just time, but for eternity. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
God bless you. God bless you. God bless you.
Praise God. Stand with me tonight. Thank you, Brother Crandall. What an insight. Folks, we are privileged. I tell you, we are privileged to be able to get such incredible insight in difficult times to help us stand. Amen. We want to open up these altars. We call this an altar. It's a place of prayer. As I was just looking down at Job, it was when he prayed for his friends that God turned things around. Sometimes we can hardly pray for anybody because we're struggling so bad. And we give you an opportunity to come to an altar where you can just give these things to God. And as Pastor Crandall said, God has a plan for your lives. He's not giving up on you. Don't give up on God. Amen. Why don't you step out your seats? If you need prayer tonight, we're going to sing a song. You come to this altar and give these issues to the Lord. He's going to bring you through. Amen. Let's sing a song and you come and pray tonight. Hallelujah. We're so privileged to have people like David Wilkerson, Pastor Ben Crandall, men on like Sunday morning and then again tonight. These aren't just messages. These are men who've walked the distance. And from their lives, they're giving us truths that has kept them and will keep us. And that's what God does. He takes a vessel and speaks through that vessel things that they've gone the distance. And it's an awesome privilege to be in a place and get the message. This is not just another sermon. These are life truths that are coming to us. And like Pastor Crandall said, you don't build your faith on people. I'm not going to get there because I built my faith on somebody else. I'm not going to be a Job's wife. I'm going to have my own faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. And that's going to keep you the distance. And one day you're going to be able to do exactly the same thing. You're going to turn around to another generation. You're going to say, never give up. Because God kept you. Amen. Tonight, be assured of your faith with God. How many need to just say, Pastor, tonight I need to just surrender one more time my life to Jesus Christ. I need a living faith for myself. I can't live off somebody else's faith. That's you at the altar now. Just put your hand straight up. Unashamedly, just put your hand up. Now, Father, we thank you tonight that you have touched us and ministered to us. And now for those with their hands raised, pray this with me. Lord Jesus, I want to live from a faith, a living faith with you, not through somebody else. I take all the things that have separated between you and me, and I place them at the cross. Jesus, tonight, I thank you that you are Lord, and you are King, and you are my Savior. I put my faith and my trust in you tonight. Hallelujah. Thank you for cleansing me. And now, Lord, for your grace to face each day. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Father, I thank you tonight for this living message. God, we thank you tonight that you are speaking to us. Speaking to us as a congregation through Pastor Carter, our senior pastor. Giving us message after message, living messages. From our founding pastor, from Pastor Crandall, men who've gone the distance. And tonight we say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in our lives. And we give you praise. Amen. Now give him praise tonight. Give him thanks. Hallelujah.